Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks. Next item, and colleagues have been told that we need to read these separately, so we'll start with 1246.
1246, authorized conveyance of city-owned property located at 6431 through 6435 and 6445 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard to PCRI Northeast Housing 2 LLC, and funding in an amount not to exceed $5.7 million to its affiliate, King Park Apartments Limited Partnership, for the construction of a new affordable multifamily housing development located in the Interstate Corridor Urban Renewal Area.
Very good. Thank you. And welcome.
Thank you.
We have Director Callahan here, and we have Director Fitzpatrick here.
Thank
you. It's great to have you both.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm pleased to be here this morning to bring you this exciting new affordable housing project from PCRI, Portland Community Reinvestment Initiatives, located on the corner of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and Rosa Parks Way. It's my honor to be here today with PCRI's Executive Director, Maxine Fitzpatrick, who served PCRI and her community for more than 25 years, and PCRI's Michael Fu and Julia Metz, and are you... Andrea, I'm sorry, Andrea, I forgot your last name. Debnam, also of PCRI. Before I turn it over to Maxine Fitzpatrick, I'd like to share with you a few details regarding the project. Can you see the screen?
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah, thank you.
The project consists of 70 new affordable homes with an emphasis on family-sized housing. 35% of the units are set aside for very low-income families. The project is estimated to provide 198 new residents permanent affordable housing in North and Northeast. This project is part of the city's comprehensive North and Northeast neighborhood strategy, which both acknowledges and works to address our actions in regards to gentrification and displacement. This is the second affordable rental project funded under the strategy to be developed by PCRI. The Beatrice Moreau just opened its doors with 80 new units last month, and we are proud to have been part of that project as well. This project, the King Parks project, will prioritize families with long-term ties to the North and Northeast neighborhood and those who've experienced displacement, as well as serving 20 formerly homeless families with long-term voucher support. PCRI has partnered with Colas Construction and the National Association of Minority Contractors and expects to well exceed the city's requirements for minority women and emerging business participation. I believe Maxine and her team will talk a little bit more about that, but they're expecting to reach 30% participation. Today before you, as you heard, is the approval for the director to provide financial support to PCRI in the amount of $5.7 million. This is actually leveraging four times the amount of funding on the that comes from other sources, so it's a great investment for the city. And we will also be conveying the land to PCRI as part of this transaction. And so with that, I am honored to turn it over to Maxine Fitzpatrick.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Director Callahan did a really good job of explaining much of the project information. What I'll say here at this time is that we're really excited to be once again able, as a community-based organization serving North and Northeast primarily. However, we do, based on the establishment of the organization, have housing in 34 of Portland's 95 neighborhoods and with the greatest concentration in North and Northeast Portland. Based in North and Northeast Portland, we have been there since 1993, serving the needs of lower-income residents, and we were excited to be able to once again do a project of the magnitude that we can, instead of doing smaller projects. The largest one we historically did was a preservation project, and that was 88 units, and that was done in about 2002, to be once again able to do housing that can address the drastic, first of all, displacement that has occurred, and then the serious situation that we have with housing affordability in the community, combined with our capacity to provide services, which we'll kind of talk a little more about as we go along. PCRI is fully prepared to deliver once again on this development and encourage the commissioners and the mayor to authorize the conveyance of the land. Thank you. I'll just say one other thing about the name of the building. The community is really, really excited to be able to honor and recognize two of our historical heroes and heroine, that being Martin Luther King and then the other being Rosa Parks. And I know I don't have to tell anyone in this room about the efforts that they put into equal opportunities for African Americans in the U.S. So it's an honor to have Rosa Parks Way and Martin Luther King Boulevard intersect and PCRI able to develop housing. It'll make the community residents, particularly those that have been displaced, feel really, really good about their community again. So thank you.
Thank you.
It's going to be called King Plus Parks? Is that the
King Plus Parks, yeah, apartments, yes, thank you. And since you mentioned that, I want to thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for your efforts in making this possible, and we promise we won't disappoint you.
Okay, thanks.
Julia? Why don't we start with Michael and go over the finance? And you want to get into a little bit more detail about the finance, and Michael?
Sure. So in terms of this project,
could you pull the mic a little bit further and just introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Michael Fu. I am a housing developer with Portland Community Reinvestment Initiatives. And in terms of bringing this project together, it truly is a public-private partnership. In terms of the financing, we have financing represented from the federal government, the state government, the important contribution from the city of Portland, and additionally two sources of private financing. This is a low-income housing tax credit project where $11.28 million of the sources will be provided through private equity by U.S. Bank. Additionally, we have $5.7 million in permanent debt that is being contributed through Umpqua Bank, and they also are taking, are giving the project a construction loan in roughly $15.5 million. Additionally, from the state of Oregon, as noted before, we have a 9% low-income housing tax credit award for this project, and additionally $400,000 in OHCS GHAP and $162,275 OHCS low-income weatherization funds. From the city, we have $5.7 million in loans from the Portland Housing Bureau, additionally the contribution of the land. And from BDS, we have SDC waivers, property tax exemption that's administered through Portland Housing Bureau in partnership with Multnomah County, and the Affordable Housing CET waiver. And additionally, Home Forward, we were awarded 20 project-based Section 8, which allow us to lower the rent for our residents. So thank you.
So I'll just, and I'm Julia Metz. Good morning, I think, still. Good morning. So just briefly, I know that you've already gone a little overview of the unit mix, but I did just want to highlight, again, emphasizing that over 70% of the units will be family-sized units, meaning 2 and 3 bedroom, but beyond just the bedroom count, also the square footage of these homes really are meant to serve a family. So similar to projects that PCRI has done in the past, that's always a very big priority for us to make sure they're adequately sized for a family to live in them beyond just the bedrooms. And I won't go through this entire table, but it does show, again, the different income breakdowns in addition to the unit mix. And so as it was noted earlier, we have about 30% of the units will be project-based Section 8, We have, and then 64% of the units will be for 60% AMI or below. And then just to highlight a few of the community benefits of the project and going a little bit deeper about what was brought up earlier. So again, the project team is, of course, PCRI. Our contractor is Colas Construction, and then our architects are Merriman Barnes Architects. So of course, Colas Construction is a minority general contractor, and then Merriman Barnes is a woman-owned business. And so that contributes to our professional service numbers of 80% minority women, emerging small business. And then again, our construction is anticipated to exceed 30% minority women, emerging small business participation. And these are numbers that we have at the very least hit or exceeded on previous PCRI projects. Beyond working with certified firms, another big priority for us on the workforce front is really working with partners who are able to prioritize both training and just generally who's on their staff to support especially minority and women in professions where they're not usually represented. And then the building itself will be Earth Advantage Gold certification. So beyond energy and water savings, of course, this provides a very healthy, safe home, reduces use of resources through construction and so forth. So both a benefit for the folks that are living in the homes as well as the community as a whole. And then lastly, we have received grant funding from the Metro Placemaking Grant and also have some funds through the Piedmont Neighborhood Association, which will be contributing to a public art component, which we're working with a local black artist on that process, and she'll be engaging other artists of color to create a piece both related to honor Rosa Parks as well as to tell the story of the Black and African American community of Portland.
In terms of the project's timeline, we've received land use approvals and permits are ready to be picked up at BDS. We have HUD approval for our project based Section 8. We have OHCS approval for our 9% LIHTC award. Construction and permanent loan, we have a credit approval. Pending our approval today from City Council, and then shortly after that we'll have our LIHTC equity approval from U.S. Bank, and our anticipated start of construction will be this month, toward the end of the month, and we're looking forward to completion in 2020. That would be February. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Fisher.
No. Well, I'll wait till we're finished.
Okay, good. And just one final thing. Good morning. My name is Andrea Debnam, and I represent the Resident Services Department for PCRI. And we have the distinct pleasure to ultimately serve the residents that will reside in this development. And I just wanted to point out that, you know, ultimately, while Resident Services is designed to support and help our residents ensure that they maintain their housing, it's important to note that ultimately, you know, PCRI's goal is to really address the generational poverty that exists in the Black community at a greater level than pretty much any other community that exists in the city of Portland, which you know, which is why our Resident Services Department has other programming really designed to address that, such as our financial education services, our home ownership department, you know, IDAs, and you know, so forth. So our intention is really to make those services available to the residents at King Parks, as well as our other residents with PCRI. So I just wanted to make that be known that that is our intention with the residents at King Parks that will reside.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Is there any public testimony on this
item? So I have a couple questions.
Commissioner Fish, I'm sorry.
First, I want to start with Director Callahan. I'm heartened that so many of the units are deeply affordable and that you also have the Section 8 vouchers to keep the rents down. Have we identified opportunities for permanent supportive housing units at this development?
Commissioner, most of the families are coming out of the homeless families service system, and they will be coming with service supports. But we have not required permanent supportive housing as an additional requirement on this project.
And that was part of the NOFA?
The PCRI submitted the NOFA in serving homeless families, but we have not done an additional requirement for permanent supportive housing on this building, other than the requirement for the 20 families that the PCRI already submitted for coming out of the homeless family system, which will have services. But the additional units will be prioritized from the North and Northeast preference policy strategy.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Fritz.
Director Fitzpatrick, I think I saw that you're going to be retiring.
Yes, one day, but that
not just yet. Okay.
That's not today. Yeah, that's not tomorrow.
That's
not too soon.
I was famous in talks for announcing people that were retiring before they actually
what
did.
What we're doing is we're really working, Commissioner Fritz, to take PCRI into the next phase of this history. I was looking at our 10-year report this morning, and to me it was amazing. In 2000, our net assets were like 900,000, and if we take a look at what we've been able to complete and do over the course of the last 18 years, I just think it's amazing. But then I also think that PCRI's future is even greater than its past. And so looking at how we can have an organization like PCRI kind of lead the way in showing how we can address the issues that exist in our communities around not only affordable housing, but the poverty that causes the need for it. Commissioner Fish just talked about permanent
supportive
housing. And when I think about that term, I'm thinking, like, why does permanent situations have to exist? What is it can we do to look more deeply into what's causing that situation and come up with solutions? That's what we did with affordable housing. And I'd love to be able to talk to you some more, Commissioner Fish, about my thinking as well as our organizational thinking, where we're not just looking at supporting people in their current situation into perpetuity unless there's no other way.
Well, it's really beautiful that after 25 years in a really challenging environment, you're still thinking of what's the next steps, what's the next level. So thank you very much for your service to our community.
Right. And as you can see around the table, we have incredible staff at PCRI. So I think for the most part, they're almost as smart as me. No, actually. Actually, I think they're smarter.
Also for serving on the Development Review Advisory Committee. Your service has
Thank
been
you.
Greatly appreciated.
Thank you. And I also just want to give a shout-out to PCRI. We hope Maxine's with us for a long time, but if she isn't, they also had the foresight, and this was allowed for in the NOFA, to bring in a third-party project manager. So the day-to-day details of the project will always be well overseen, regardless of whether it is Maxine or whether it becomes a successor. Although,
yeah, we've planned for that, Mayor Wheeler. So,
and I appreciate that. I'm always looking to succession strategies.
Yeah.
I think that was a very, very smart.
I'm happy to share that with you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Any further discussion? Any public testimony on this item, Sue?
We had two people
Great.
Sign up, Maggie, who I believe has left, and Diana Ogaz.
Very good. All right. Thank you so much. We
Thank you, Commissioner.
It. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Good morning. Yes, I thought that the specific item number, it did hit on a lot of good points. One thing that I felt that wasn't really mentioned was how it could also, there wasn't anything that was just depicted for the Fair Housing Acts. And with Commissioner Fish bringing up permanent supportive housing, it does play into one of our public testimonies that was presented this morning for item 1218, where a gentleman was talking about his circumstance of being a landlord property owner and also a small business in itself and the conditions that he's been put into based off of how the marketing trends have have progressed. So with that said, I do have some reservations as far as, you know, whether or not those kinds of things, you know, have been addressed, whether it is, you know, fair housing compliant, and whether or not it is going to also provide a solution to the permanent housing situation, so that other citizens that are trying to maintain home and livelihood aren't going to be put out onto the streets. That's all that I have to say. Thank you so much for your time.
Very good. Director Callahan, did you want to respond to those two items? First of all, compliance with the Fair Housing Act, and second of all, does this in any way lead to further displacement?
Thank you, Mayor, for the opportunity. Let me address the last question first. This is a vacant parcel of land that the Portland Housing Bureau and its predecessor, Portland Development Commission, have owned for quite some time. So we will be adding housing to the community and will not be resulting in any displacement. Secondarily, there are two populations that are prioritized for this building. One is families coming out of the homeless family system that will be supported by vouchers from Home Forward. So people with very low incomes will be able to afford permanent housing for themselves and family. And also the priority of families or households that have historic ties or have been displaced from North and Northeast Portland who would like to come back to North and Northeast Portland. Both of these preferences have been thoroughly reviewed by fair housing attorneys and comply with fair housing law. So we're addressing both displacement and homeless families, as well as adding new affordable housing stock with this project.
Thank you. Any Director further Kelly, questions? Commissioner Fish.
Did I hear you say that this property was once controlled by then PDC?
Yes, it has been in the portfolio for quite some time.
And it was it transferred to the Housing Bureau as part of the creation of the Portland Housing Bureau?
I believe so, yes.
And do we know what PDC had once contemplated for this site?
I don't know the full history of the site, other than at one point there had been plans to do a condo development on the site, and there was a development agreement that had not been able to materialize going forward, I think partially due to some of the issues we faced in the last recession. But that contracted development agreement was terminated, I think, in approximately 2014, if I believe. I don't know what the plans before were for.
And when it transferred over, then it became subject to our strategic plan and our values. So, I mean, this is not the first time there's a piece of property that was once contemplated for high-end condos that is now serving low-income residents. And it's the second time I've been pleased to be reminded that with the transition, we got a change in the use of properties that were once maintained by PDC that then came over to the Housing Bureau.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you. Please call the roll.
Udaly.
Well, this is an exciting development, and I'm glad to hear that you're not retiring quite yet, Maxine. And, of course, I'm very pleased to vote aye.
Fritz.
It's disappointing that the people who yell at the mayor and at the Housing Bureau for not producing housing quickly enough or at the right rates are no longer in the chambers, and the reporters aren't here either, because 80 units just opened and this will be another 70 units. A great partnership with a renowned community organization that has been led by Maxine Fitzpatrick for 25 years and has significant results. But these projects are not easy. You know, the ribbon cutting part is easy, but the actual getting to the ribbon cutting is not at all. So thank you, Mayor, for your leadership, and thank you, Director Callahan, Director Fitzpatrick, the whole team. This is a great project. Aye.
Fish.
I'm glad that Commissioner Fritz reminded us that these are not easy projects, particularly with the Trump tax plan and its impact on low-income tax credits and the market. We had a page in the PowerPoint that showed all the various financing sources, but it is truly a remarkable accomplishment when all of that funding streams can be put together so a project moves forward. And it takes enormous tenacity to make that happen. So congratulations to PCRI. One of the things that I really like about this development is that of the 70 units, all of them will be affordable at 60% of MFI or below. And what that means is people in on fixed incomes, people who are entry-level workers, people starting out, formerly homeless. In other words, it will be serving people that the market is not serving right now. And, you know, sometimes because of the law, because of other constraints, we serve people higher up the food chain. It's nice to serve them. It's essential that we serve people living in poverty, because if we don't, they'll be on our streets and in our shelters. Their children will not be going to school ready to learn, and the community will suffer for that. So it looks like a great project, and I'm also pleased that Home Forward has stepped up again and put some Section 8 vouchers in, which without which would not make would not obviously make it possible to make some of these three bedrooms so affordable. So congratulations to everyone who brought this forward, and I'm pleased to support it. Bye.
Saul Smith.
Well, when we celebrated, I think it was around 2006, we had a big celebration at the corner of when the council renamed Portland Boulevard Rosa Parks Way. We had a gigantic celebration at the intersection of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and the soon-to-be Rosa Parks Way Street. And I know we all talked about, you know, we wanted to have a statue there that somehow, you know, commemorates these two great individuals. And I remember looking around and seeing this big empty parcel of land, wondering what's that all about, and what's going to happen with that. Well, I soon got more intimately involved with that piece of property as when I became housing commissioner. But I think that first of all, I want to say this project, the King Parks apartments, look great, and I think all the people that were there that day to celebrate would say this is a project, you know, very worthy at this historically significant intersection in Portland. But yeah, I want to thank you know, Maxine Fitzpatrick, Shannon Callahan, who was my housing advisor at the time, and Ernest Warren, your most capable attorney, and I believe he's maybe a board member too, but we had some very frank conversations about this piece of property, and I'm very happy with the direction those conversations went, and that it's just as we celebrated the milestone of the Southwest Capitol Highway improvements earlier this morning, this is a milestone, too. They actually have the development plan and money ready to go to make this project a reality, too. So this is really a great day. So I'm very happy to support this project and vote aye.
Wheeler.
Well, there's a lot to celebrate here. And I think it's also it's important that we remember there is some accountability here as well. The fact of the matter is displacement and gentrification, redlining, lack of access to loans, and discrimination are an unfortunate part of our city's history, but they're also a very real part of our city's history. And therefore, I think it's important that through projects like this, we acknowledge that history, because by doing that, it allows us to heal some of the wounds and it allows us to move together as a community. And it also lets us stand out as one of a small number of communities around the country who have really tackled this issue of displacement and gentrification head on in an intentional manner through projects like this. As Commissioner Fritz mentioned a moment ago, this has been a really busy week when it comes to housing those of lower income or people who lack access to safe and affordable housing in our community. We all started at Hazel Heights with that ribbon cutting ceremony. Then yesterday we were at the Charlotte B. Rutherford ribbon cutting ceremony. This morning we added a number of multi-units to our affordable housing mix, and now we have King and Parks to celebrate. I couldn't be happier to see these 70 units of affordable housing being added to the city's stock. And of course, it's mostly targeted for north and northeast preference policy families. I believe this will be a strong addition to contributing to the overall north and northeast housing strategy, which the community, of course, requested of the city council. And there are many partners that I could thank here, but I'll keep the list short. First of all, PCRI, and of course, Maxine Fitzpatrick, for your exceptional leadership on this and getting this very complicated project over the finishing line. And I particularly want to congratulate you because it's so quickly on the heels of the success of the Beatrice Mora, which where we were, what, 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, celebrating the opening of yet another preference policy, lower-income-focused housing development in the city of Portland. I certainly want to thank Housing Bureau Director Shannon Callahan. She has only been the director for a very short period of time, but she has proven to be an exceptional leader around housing policy over a period of decades. And this is just one more success that you've helped shepherd through. I'd like to thank Cupid Alexander from my office, who helps me see straight on projects like this and helps explain the finer details. And keeping on top of it on behalf of the mayor's team. So I thank you. Most of all, I want to take this opportunity to thank Commissioner Dan Saltzman. And I'm going to do this more and more just because he is close to the door, both literally and figuratively speaking. And I just want to acknowledge that the vision that he championed on the city council with regard to the North-Northeast preference policy, it's now coming into play. It's becoming part of the standard business of the Portland City Council. But Dan doesn't get the credit he deserves sometimes because he's very quiet, he's very reserved. But it actually took courageous leadership to push the preference policy through. And it was courageous on the part of the City Council, including Commissioner Fish, who's been a former Housing Bureau director, and Commissioner Fritz, who was on the council and working hard to make sure that this policy was successful. I owe and others owe a debt of gratitude to you for your leadership so that we could sit here today and celebrate successes like this. So thanks to all of you. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted, and congratulations.